Radio Prague News.
The trial run of Prague's Blanka Tunnel could be launched on September the 15th. Ex-politician David Rad has described the conviction of a married couple over corruption, of which he is also accused, as a political show trial. And Czech Fed Cup team captain Petr Pála has announced the nominations for the upcoming semi-finals against France. The trial run of Prague's Blanka Tunnel could be launched on the 15th of September, according to the spokesman for ČKD Praha DIS, company which supplied the cables destroyed during flooding last year. The date has been agreed by representatives of Prague City Hall and the construction company. The 37 billion crown tunnel was due to open after numerous delays in April. However, the opening had to be postponed again due to the faulty cables. It was originally estimated that their replacement might take several months and cost an additional 1 billion crowns, but now it seems their replacement will be less extensive. Ex-politician David Rad has described the conviction of a married couple over corruption, of which he is also accused, as a political show trial. Kateřina Kotová and Petr Kot on Tuesday received jail terms of 7.5 years and were stripped of around 30 million crowns, while seven others were also convicted over the manipulation of a contract to renovate a chateau and hospital procurement. Mr. Rad, who is facing similar charges in a separate trial, said he hoped he would be tried by judges who did not ignore evidence and court experts. If found guilty, the former health minister and regional governor could spend up to 12 years behind bars. Two of President Miloš Zeman's closest associates at his Prague Castle office are in line for ambassadorial posts, according to Hospodářské noviny. Mr. Zeman's head of protocol, Jindřich Forejt, looks set to receive a long-mooted appointment as Czech ambassador to the Vatican, the newspaper said. However, the move is not expected to occur until late 2017, shortly before the president's term ends. His foreign policy advisor Hinek Kmoníček is expected to become the country's ambassador to Washington in around a year's time. Hospodářské noviny said the planned departure of two key members of Mr. Zeman's staff suggested he may not seek a second term. The number of Czechs working abroad has increased over the last year, according to data released by the European Employment Service Network. Some 110,000 Czechs worked abroad in 2014, which is 55,000 more than in 2006. Among the most popular destinations for Czechs are Great Britain, Germany, Austria and Scandinavia. Czechs mostly work in healthcare, gastronomy, services and technical fields. According to Miroslav Chytil of the European Employment Service Network, foreign employers are currently seeking mainly qualified craftsmen, such as electricians, bakers and carpenters. Czech Fed Cup team captain Petr Pála on Wednesday announced the nominations for the upcoming semi-final rubber against France. The Czech team includes the country's number one player Petra Kvitová, along with Karolina Plíšková, Lucie Šafářová, Barbora Strýcová and Tereza Smitková. The average ranking of the players is 13, making it the strongest Fed Cup team in the Czech Republic's history. The semi-finals are scheduled for the 19th and 20th of April in Ostrava's Chess Arena. My name is Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Azarová. Coming up in today's programme, a court has ruled in one of the most closely watched court cases in the country, the corruption case centering around the former Social Democrat heavyweight David Rath. And there appears to be a good chance that Jaromír Jágr may join the national team in the upcoming World Championship. Later on in Marketplace, we look at some of the country's regulators and watchdogs. All that coming up, so do please stay with us.
Music.
Verdicts have been delivered in one of the most closely watched court cases in recent Czech history, with 9 found guilty of corruption in a case linked to David Rath. The erstwhile politician is being tried separately, but seems set to also spend many years behind bars. Ian Willoughby reports.
David Rath was once one of the Czech Republic's most flamboyant politicians. Social Democrat health minister and later governor of the Central Bohemia region, he wore a bow tie, employed language that wasn't always parliamentary, and was open about having 2 families. In 2012, he was the focus of international media attention after claiming to be surprised when police found 7 million crowns in a box when they swooped on him and a couple with whom he was suspected of taking kickbacks in connection with the renovation of a chateau and procurements for a hospital. On Tuesday, the couple, Katarzyna Kotova and Petr Kot, were found guilty by a court in Prague. They received jail terms of 7.5 years and were stripped of almost 30 million crowns found hidden under floorboards at their home. 7 others received lesser sentences. Among them was a woman who bribed the group to win a contract but turned state's evidence. She got a suspended term and a 1 million crown fine. The defendant's case rested on the claim that recordings made by the police were inaudible. However, the judge dismissed this claim. David Rath is being tried separately from his co-accused and won't know his fate until his verdict is delivered, possibly next month. In an interview with Czech television, Mr. Rath questioned the independence of the court that sentenced his former associates after a trial lasting for more than a year and a half.
From the start, it has been a certain kind of political show trial. The judge is not impartial. Above all, I would like to go before an independent court that will rule according to the evidence. By that I mean according to witness testimonies and according to expert opinions, not according to personal sympathy or antipathy.
The state attorney accuses Mr. Rath of heading the group, and his name was mentioned several times by the judge in his summation on Tuesday. So, given the fate of the other defendants, it's hard to imagine he's not now enjoying his last few weeks of liberty. The judge gave the Kots a term at the exact halfway mark between the minimum and maximum sentence permitted. If the same measure is applied in Mr. Rath's case, he can expect to get 8.5 years in prison.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Hockey fans are looking forward to the upcoming Ice Hockey World Championships, which begin in May, held this year in the Czech cities of Prague and Ostrava. Hosting a championship means added anticipation over how the home squad will do. Many hope that legendary forward Jaromír Jágr, who is taking part in training camp, will play and, if possible, lead the Czechs to a medal on home ice. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Jaromír Jágr at 43 is still going strong, getting a boost following his transfer to the Florida Panthers in the NHL, scoring 5 goals and earning a total of 14 points in 18 games. The player no doubt hoped the team would have a shot at the Stanley Cup, but having failed to make the playoffs, many hope he will play at the World Championships instead. After the regular season wraps up, Jágr confirmed in the media he will return to Prague, where he will take part in training camp with the national squad. If his form is decent, there is a chance he will play at the Worlds, a welcome reversal of his decision from last year, when Jágr said he had played for the last time in the tournament. Now he agreed to sit down with national squad coach Vladimír Růžička, who made no secret he wants Jágr to play.
We talked about it, and he said we would have players who are good, and he said he didn't want to get in the way. I told him I would be putting together the roster. Okay, it won't be Jaromír Jágr as he was at 25, but he has a lot of experience and I think he would help us, just like he helped us last year.
In the coach's view, Jágr is doing very well currently with the Panthers, where he moved after February, even if the club didn't make the playoffs.
He's been playing great in Florida. The Panthers have a more forward playing style than the New Jersey Devils, and I think it suits him.
Jagr might also not be the only key veteran to play. Vladimir Ružička also said he wants Martin Rudzinski, possibly on the same line. The forward, also 43, is currently in the domestic Extraliga finals with his club Litvinov. The national squad coach again.
There's Rudzinski as well, of course. I don't want it to seem like we only have older players, but I want to have a team with players who are the best, and we want to get a good result.
The last time the Worlds were held in Prague and Ostrava was in 2004. Then the team reached but was knocked out of the quarterfinals after losing a penalty shootout against the United States. A year later, the Czechs won gold in neighbouring Austria. If Jagr opts to play in a month's time, many fans would be thrilled. According to the news website IDNES, 10,000 fans voted that the team would be much stronger with Jagr, while only 1,500 said the opposite.
Jan Wellinger with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for our main feature, Marketplace with Chris Johnston. For almost every business sector, there is a regulator, or at least a more general watchdog, keeping an eye on developments. And some of those key business sectors lacking a regulator right now should soon be getting one. But Czech regulators as a whole have had a turbulent ride over the last couple of decades, and many have still to convince that they are up there with the best in Europe. Chris Johnston has the story.
To those who do not believe, like former President and Prime Minister Václav Klaus, that the free market can mostly be left to its own devices, there are regulators. These have sprouted up across the board in the Czech Republic over the last 20 years, mostly in sectors where there are monopoly suppliers who could abuse their positions, but also more generally. And while the record of the Czech regulators is patchy, there are more on the way and changes in the pipeline for those already on the scene. The Ministry of Transport is now looking at ways of creating a new rail regulator. The water sector is one outstanding area where a regulator has long been talked about but has so far failed to emerge. And there are plans for a fundamental shake-up at the energy regulator. And perhaps the most potent regulator of them all, the Competition Office, could get a new head this year. Some of the competences of the Telecoms Authority for shaping the next generation high-speed broadband market are being clawed back because the Ministry of Industry and Trade is not happy with the office's ability to do its job. So let's start with the Competition Office. It's one of the oldest regulators on the Czech scene, having started operation in 1991. And for the last 5 years, it's been headed by former Social Democrat Member of Parliament, Petr Rafaj. Rafaj's five-year term is up in July, and while he wants to stay on, there have been no signals so far from the government that this will be the case. Several lawyers we approached would not comment on Rafaj's records for fear of affecting the cases they were dealing with for clients. One Prague-based lawyer, who did not want to be identified, agreed to us reading some of his comments as long as he remained anonymous.
The office deals with two types of cases, tenders and competition cases. In both, the office is not performing very well. The situation is, in fact, quite terrible. In the competition cases, the office is not very active. You can see this when you compare what sort of job it is doing compared with its counterpart in Slovakia. With regard to tenders, the office has a very formalistic approach, which means that it takes on a lot of cases where it should not really be involved. Compared with other heads of the office, the current chairman, Mr. Rafaj, is very weak. He is not interested in competition and only cares about public procurement, though he does not understand that very well. There is not a problem with the number of staff, but with their training. He has not been able to create a good team.
In its 2014 report on the Czech Republic, the so-called economic advisor to the rich developed countries, the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, produced what amounted to a critical comment on the functioning of the Czech Competition Office. It pointed out that the office's resources seemed to be skewed to dealing with state aid, abuse of dominant position, and public tenders. Few of the 200 staff dealt with cartels. As regards staffing, it pointed out that many of the 200 workers were fairly young, the average age was 35, and most clearly did not see the office as a long-term position. The average stint in post was 5 years, and hiring of outside experts was complicated. The report pointed out that only 4 cartel cases were opened in the previous 4 years, and most of these were over suspicions that public tenders had been rigged. A leniency programme in place, offering protection to those who blew the whistle on cartels, did not initially have any effect, because it could not offer satisfactory incentives for those willing to break ranks and denounce cartels. In more general competition cases, the OECD report said that the office often adopted a very wide definition of markets under scrutiny, meaning that a more lenient view was often taken. In this way, state-controlled electricity company CEZ was able to build up its market position, although it generated almost 3/4 of the country's electricity. The 3 big players on the mobile phone market were not unduly bothered either, although they charged some of the highest fees in Europe. Deputy Chairman of the Competition Office, Michal Peter, said it had already put the focus increasingly on cartels when the OECD report was penned, but that the change had still to bear fruit.
I believe we have concentrated on cartels very much, but the report was issued before this was visible on the statistics. The shift to cartel detection takes some time, and we have fully focused on cartels something like 3 years ago, and only last year have we closed most of the new proceedings concerning cartels. So I would respond that we were fully in line with what the OECD has reported, and last year we have issued more decisions on cartels than any other time in the past.
He said some of the blame for failing to take on some dominant telephone and energy companies was shared with other regulators as well. The Czech Energy Office has had a turbulent history, with its outspoken current chairwoman, Alena Vitáškova, frequently clashing with industry bosses as well as the Minister of Industry and Trade, Jan Mládek. There are currently plans to curb the powers of the chairwoman by introducing a council which would take over some of the competences. But in the early days of the office, the criticisms were rather the opposite, that it was taking a too passive and hands-off role and had far too cosy a relationship with the ministry, from which many of the top staff were taken. The current spokesman for the Energy Office is Jiří Chvojka, who said that the situation found by Chairman Vitáškova when she took up office in 2011 was far from satisfactory.
Definitely wasn't functioning well because there were a lot of mistakes in licensing processes and in controlling processes, and Ms. Vitáškova made a couple of audits of these activities and totally changed the system how Energy Regulatory Office worked. It definitely led to the situation that some people had to leave the Energy Regulatory Office and that we were supposed to bring new experts, which took some time.
Mr. Volker put his finger on another problem already obliquely referred to above, that many of those working in the regulatory offices are earning a fraction of the wages of lawyers or industry bosses they are dealing with, and it's therefore difficult to get the right people and keep them.
It would be always a trouble to find people with enough competence and with enough erudition, because, of course, the state clerk is not as well paid as they would be in private sector, but we can say that right now there is a stabilized situation.
And so how about the new rail regulator, which is in the pipeline, and one of whose main tasks will be to juggle the demands of different passenger and rail cargo companies so they can have adequate access at the right times and prices to stretches of track which are in heavy demand. Aleš Ondroj is spokesman for the student agency group which runs the Regiojet trains on the fiercely competitive Prague-Ostrava route. He says that his company fears that a new regulator, which must be put in place according to European rules, might complicate access to track and put a brake on competition rather than improving it.
You can see on the main railway line in the country a huge competition which came on the market without having such a regulatory office. So there is always a question what is going to happen when such an office or such an authority is going to step in that situation when you already have a competition on the market, when you already have three or more companies operating in a very strong competition on the main railway line. And the question is how the new authority will reflect such a situation and what will be the influence on that.
Rail competition is advancing fairly timidly in the Czech Republic, and Social Democrat Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka told rail unions last week that he wanted state passenger rail company Czech Railways to maintain its roles as the main player in the sector. So Aleš Ondroj's concern about the new regulator might not be totally on the wrong track.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson has brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us and take care.